We've got lots of agenda items to cover, or, well, not a lot, but some that are going to take some time, I'm afraid. Turn it on. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. We've got three action items we need to handle tonight. History shows that sometimes it takes several hours to get through some of these agenda items, so we'll go ahead and get started. First order is the approval of the agenda. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Todd made the motion and Kevin seconded it. Approval of minutes. Everybody have a chance to look through the minutes? And appreciate you getting those to us, Brent. Thanks, Sue. Is there a second? Chris, second? All in favor? Opposed? I don't think we took a vote on the agenda. All in favor of the agenda? Thank you. Old business, I'm going to have Mike King give a quick update on what happened at the board meeting on the aquatic proclamation. Is there any other old business that anybody wants to?
Did we ever approve the minutes from the meeting before the last meeting?
Probably not.
I don't think we ever.
Okay. Let's go ahead and be there.
Yeah, we finally.
Oh, we did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. But yeah. It was after our last meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from what meeting was that? That was the.
September 21st.
What was it?
It was the aquatics.
Oh, I see.
Was it? Oh, no. Was it the aquatics one? Or that was the last
one.
So it was a cougar meeting, and that was on July, the date matters,
27th. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the July 27th Cougar minutes? Kevin made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Todd made second it. All in favor? Unanimous. Okay. Mike, if you don't mind, give us a quick update.
Yeah, I'll give you a very quick update. The Wildlife Board meeting wasn't much different than the RAC meeting. Talking about the fishing items that came before you. So essentially the Wildlife Board approved everything that all of the RACs approved and did that unanimously. There were three main items, the private fishing ponds, the fishing contests, and the fishing guidebook, and all those passed unanimously. And beyond that, there really wasn't much other business. There were a few variances that were approved, but that was really about it. So that's about my report. Darris, was there anything else that came out of that?
No, I think
that you can remember. The next Wildlife Board meeting is December the 1st. So if you have anything that you would like me to present to the board or discuss with the board, let me know. I'm happy to do that. There's also a working session the day before that meeting on November the 30th. And if there's something that you'd like me to bring forth at that meeting, I'm happy to do that too. I'm not quite sure how that works as far as getting things on that agenda, but I'm happy to explore that if there's something that you think we need to discuss there in that meeting. That, I think, begins at 1:00 in the afternoon on the 30th of November. And that's a public meeting as well, so that'll be streamed live just like the board meetings are.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Let's go ahead and do the regional update, Bill.
I hope everybody notices we have new microphones and new sound equipment, and hopefully our recordings will be better. We've had quite a bit of problem with picking up all the conversations. So if everybody just make sure you bring these nice new mics right over there where they can hear you, Darryl, we'd appreciate it. Anyway, I'll try to quickly do our regional overview.
Focus.
The aquatic section, that needs to be focused. Or, man, I need to take my glasses off. They are. Yeah. The aquatic section has been really busy. They've been doing gill netting and also been working on I guess we talked about that last time. We talked about the project up at Farron Reservoir. But it's interesting, on the 5th of October, they did some gill netting at Schofield and caught what would be the state record tiger trout at 3 pounds and 8 ounces. Now, we don't have a category for tiger trout in the state record angling records, but it does show that there are some really nice fish up there. Then bad news was they did catch a lot of chubs, and we were hoping that the tiger muskies and the cutthroat trout would reduce the number of chubs, but maybe over the next few years that'll play out. And obviously these fish are eating a lot of them and doing really well. The tiger trout at Electric Lake, we also did some sampling there, and we caught some nice ones there as well. The tiger muskies in Joes Valley are up around 30 inches, and we expect those to be up around 40 inches by late next summer. But the aquatic section also did some river shocking up on Strait Canyon, or backpack shocking on Strait Canyon just yesterday. We were looking to see if any tiger muskies have come out of the dam at Joes Valley down into the stream, and we have not found any. Even with the high water this year, we did find that we had some splake that had washed over, and that was a little bit of a surprise. We caught about 24 of those, but some really nice browns in that section. Brent's been really busy and will continue to be. He has a mule deer watch this Saturday down at Nash Wash. What time are you going to meet, Brent?
We're going to meet at 2 o'clock at the Cisco exit.
Okay, 2 o'clock at the Cisco exit, and Brent's going to take people out and show them some rutting mule deer and kind of talk deer biology. So if anybody's interested, or if you have friends that are, go ahead and send them. They've also been busy with radio shows and the state fair, and the Green River Bighorn Sheep Watch is scheduled for the 3rd of December. Now, we used to do the Bighorn Sheep Festival down in Moab about this next Saturday, but what we did instead this year is I went and spoke at the River Rendezvous convention they had down there and spoke about restoring native wildlife. Fortunately, it wasn't recorded, so nobody will ever know what I said, but it was fun nonetheless. Law enforcement's been really busy. They've documented, had 84 different investigations and issued 83 citations. They've investigated 10 poached elk. 3 of those were trophy bulls, 14 deer, and there were 4 major cases that were made, and those included illegal hunting on CWMUs, 2 cases of non-resident permit fraud, and the taking of a branch antlered bull on a spike unit. And I think last time we spoke about the one up in the upper right-hand corner, didn't we, about the Corolla? The lesson is here, we appreciate Facebook. And I think that picture was taken right off of Facebook, wasn't it, Stacy? Okay. License plate right there, tracked it right down, so it worked out very well. So anyway, they've been really busy. The habitat section's also been very busy. They've been doing their habitat projects. They had on the Veterans Day, they went down to Moab and did some plantings down on the Moab Slough. They've been working on the Grimes Wash habitat project and flew some seed in on Airplane Springs on the Henry Mountains. Wildlife section's been involved with youth chucker and pheasant hunts, CWD sampling, and they will be beginning deer classification coming up soon. They're also in the middle of bighorn sheep flights, and that's the reason why I'm a little bit incoherent. I've been up flying with them today, so don't hold me responsible for everything I say. Getting back to CWD, we have had three positives so far, all in our region. One was on the La Salle's where we've had it in the past. It was, I think, up around Geyser Pass is where that one was taken. But we did have one taken down in San Juan County in Unit 14, you know, the San Juan unit. And that's the first time that that unit has had a positive. And unfortunately, the person, the hunter that took that was one of our employees. And so we're going to make him the statewide CWD caller because he knows what he's looking for now. But it was quite a surprise. The other one came from the Manti. It was taken up by Potter's Pond, between Potter's Pond and Rolfson up in that area. And that was also a surprise because we haven't had anything on this side of Skyline Drive before. So interesting results. Anyway, are there any questions? It was a deer. These are all deer. We've only had one elk test positive. That was on the La Salle's, I think, 2 years ago. Okay, if it's okay, Darius, I'd like to just turn just a minute over to Mark Martinez. Mark is from our Salt Lake office, and he works with the Internet and social media, and he has just a little bit of information that pertains to what we're talking to tonight about boundary, the boundary maps on the Internet. So I just ask him to take a minute if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, hi. As Bill mentioned, my name is Mark Martinez, and I work in outreach in the Salt Lake office on the website. And I've actually been traveling to all the division offices, giving training on the maps features that we have on the website and our website in general. If you haven't visited yet, we have a part of our site that's dedicated to the maps and boundary for hunting units. And this is something that I'm doing training for because it's an expanding feature, something we just developed over the last year, and it's a major work in process. So I'm getting feedback from the regions, finding out what questions they have, what concerns our customers have, and we're going to go back and use that information to make the website much more user-friendly. I would encourage everybody, if you haven't visited, please go and do so. You can get to it right from the main menu on our website. And we already have also a FAQ about the switch to 30 deer hunting units. So if you're interested in seeing the maps for that, we have PDFs available now, and we're working on getting interactive maps out as well. And if anyone does find any issues or if they have any questions or if they want to provide feedback, they can either let me know directly, markmartinez@utah.gov, or they can go to DWR comment and send an email there, and they'll route it to me. So thank you for your time.
Mark, will that be available as an app on, like, your iPhone or smartphone?
We don't have plans in the direct future, but we are programming it in a way that it's compatible with smartphones. So if you go to that page on an iPad or a tablet, it'll look really good. If you go on a phone, you can use it, but it's not really set up for the small screen of a mobile phone. But we are looking at optimizing it for mobile devices in the future.
The guidebook, though, is being... you're going to have an app for guidebooks, aren't you?
We're also not in the near future, not an app specifically. I am working on ways to make the guidebooks more readable. So that's, we're going to offer a Kindle edition and an EPUB edition, which is a digital book edition.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, before we get started on the action items, for those in the audience that have never been to a RAC meeting before, the process we're going to use is DWR is going to present their presentation on their recommendation. After they're done with their presentation, we'll have questions from the RAC to clarify any of the information presented at that time. After the RAC is done asking questions, then I'm going to open it up to the public out here to ask questions for clarification also. And I ask that you not try to turn a comment into a question form. We're not going to play Jeopardy with trying to make a comment a question. I promise I'll give everybody an opportunity during the comment period to get their comments put forward. But try to use the question period for clarification so that you understand what the division is actually presenting so that you can form your own opinion and bring your comments forward. And that comment period will be right after the questions from the public. So as soon as the questions from the public are over, we'll go right to the comment period. And I ask that everybody in the audience that wants to have a comment, fill out one of these yellow cards back there on that table. And I'm just going to, as they come up, I'll put them on the bottom of the pile, and we'll start with the first one I got and go through that. I'm going to ask that individuals limit their comment period to, let's say, 4 minutes. And if you're representing an organization, I'll give you 10 minutes. If 4 minutes isn't enough to get your comment through to me, then we'll consider giving you what time you need. But if you're just repeating yourself over and over, I'm going to ask that you quit at 4 minutes. Once the audience, the public, has given their comments, I'm going to close it to the public as far as presenting any more comment. At that point, we're going to have discussion amongst the RAC members and form a motion and make a vote, and that motion will be carried forward to the Wildlife Board for their consideration at the board meeting on December 1st. So with that, let's get started with the presentation. Denise?
I'm making comments from Denise. You know, the extra mics are going to help the audience. But it would be nice if you had them like in the middle of the table like Garris. It'll help pick you up much better.
So are they don't need to move mics back and forth anymore?
Just have them about center of the table.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you mentioned, I'll be presenting the Bucks and Bulls once in a lifetime season dates. A lot of the information that I'll be presenting is mainly dealing with general season. There's a lot of other seasons in your packets that obviously in a presentation like this I can't go into, so I hope you've looked at those, and if you have any questions about them, please feel free to ask me questions about those as well. Okay, as you know, this coming year in 2012 will be the first year we'll hunt general season on a unit-by-unit basis. So as Mark alluded to earlier, a lot of the information you need is on our website with a frequently asked question page, maps of the units, boundary descriptions, all the above. And again, I'd be glad to answer any questions you have here as well. In this rack, we're only going to be setting season dates. The permit numbers for all of our hunts, including antlerless, will be set in April and May, April rack May board meeting. So, for general season deer, really the seasons haven't changed a whole lot from last year. They just shift a little bit to allow for a Saturday opener. So the archery season will start August 18th and end on September 14th. The muzzleloader season will start on September 26th and go through October 4th. And the anti-weapon season is October 20th through the 28th. So those archery's 28 days, muzzleloader 9, and the rifle or anti-weapon season will be 9 days. Okay, moving to general season elk hunting dates. Our archery spike bull hunt will run from August 18th through September 7th. It's a 21-day hunt. The reason that hunt is shorter than the any bull hunt is because, as you know, on those units, we also have limited entry hunters hunting elk at the same time. This allows those limited entry elk hunters to have the last basically 7 days of their hunt without any interruption from spike bull hunters, and we chose the latter end of the season is because it is the part closest to the rut, so it gives them the better opportunity of harvesting during that period. The archery any bull season will run from August 18th through September 14th, and then the any weapon elk season will run from October 6th through the 18th. That's a 13-day hunt. The muzzleloader will run from October 31st through November 8th. And then the youth any bull hunt will run from September 15th through the 23rd. Those of you that are not familiar with that, that's a hunt we have roughly 400 or so permits in that hunt, and it's just to get youth out there hunting on any bull units. It's in the rut. It gives them an opportunity to harvest, a better opportunity to harvest than they would on the regular hunt. And then there's a late youth any bull hunt that only occurs in the northeastern region on the Vernal unit. That hunt is a long hunt, 46 days, starts December 1st through January 15th. The reason that hunt is so long is it gives those youth an opportunity, if those bulls are not down on winter range, a longer period to be able to drive around and look around and see where those bulls are. The reason this is a late season hunt is these elk are usually on private land during the regular season and don't come off onto public land until later in the season. So this is a hunt that region uses both to allow for youth opportunity and to deal with some depredation issues. Okay, some recommended changes, either season dates or boundary descriptions. So some of the statewide recommended changes is we would like to allow those who draw a youth any bull permit to harvest a bull or an antlerless elk. Again, like I mentioned, there's a couple of youth any bull permits. One is around 400 animals or 400 permits, and the other is around 15 permits. So if you allow those folks to harvest an antlerless animal, it's not going to affect the population level at all, and it will also give those youth an opportunity to harvest where otherwise they may not if they're just hunting on a bull. We're recommending removing the split from the bull moose hunt. Basically, the way it runs now is it starts in mid-September, it goes through the muzzleloader deer hunt, and then it closes, and then we run the muzzleloader deer hunt, and it opens again. We're recommending running it right through the muzzleloader deer hunt, basically adding 9 days to the hunt. Because of new legislation that passed a couple of years ago, once-in-a-lifetime species don't have to wear hunter orange during their hunt, so this will allow us to allow the muzzleloader hunters not to have to wear orange. And there's so few moose hunters out in the field, it's not really an issue for safety reasons. We would recommend discontinuing the buck-bull combo hunt. This is a hunt that currently occurs in the northern region only, and it was designed to basically move pressure from the public land portion of the northern region onto the private land portion of the unit, because most of the any bull units in that region are on private land mostly. Since we're going to a unit-by-unit approach, it makes this a very hard hunt to administer, because the elk units don't exactly align with the deer units, and it also is not needed anymore since we can now deal with the hunter crowding issue by just either reducing permits one place and increasing them in another place. So we can deal with it with a unit-by-unit approach without having a buck-bull combo. We also are recommending discontinuing the over-the-counter statewide youth archery deer permits. That's a program we put in a couple years ago to try to get youth that don't get a deer permit in a drawing to be able to go in and buy a permit. There hasn't been a whole lot of interest in that. I think the most we've sold statewide is 200 permits. And once we go to unit by unit, it'll make it a little harder to administer because we no longer have statewide archery. It may even become a less of a wanted permit, I guess. And plus, youth do get an opportunity to draw. They basically get 20% of the permits right off the top. So they have a pretty good opportunity to draw anyway. And so removing this will probably not hinder their opportunity to hunt. Okay, some of the regional recommended changes. The southern region would like a new limited entry late any weapon elk hunt on the Ponsagant unit. As you know, our limited entry units, most of them have an early and a late rifle hunt or any weapon hunt. The Ponsagant does not currently have one, and they are starting to see some bulls on that unit late in the season and would like to offer that opportunity for hunters to be able to harvest those. So they'll still probably allocate the same number of permits, but they would split them between early and late and try to harvest some of those late elk. Usually the late hunts on most of our units have a lower success rate, so you could offer a little bit more opportunity, and that's one way we could do that on that unit as well. They would, in the southern region, they would also like a new nanny goat hunt on the beaver unit. That population continues to grow and is above what the Forest Service would like to see on that mountain. So, we're working with the Forest Service to try to maintain the population where they would like to see it. And in doing that, to try to reduce that population, the nanny goat hunt would need to be done to basically lower the population by taking nannies. And you have those season dates as well in your packet. The southern region also needs to clarify the Plateau Thousand Lakes boundary. Basically, this is just in an attempt to align with the neighboring San Rafael and Henry Mountains unit. When we went to, when we started to go unit by unit and started looking at these units specifically, we found some discrepancies between boundaries, between regions. So just to correct that, it's merely just to make the boundary a more definable boundary.
Denise, isn't that also going to take Capitol Reef out of the Henry Mountains unit as well?
This does not. This is just on the southern region side. Yeah, I'll talk about the Henry Mountains one when we get to this region.
There you go,
southeastern region. So there is a recommended change to the Henry Mountains bison unit boundary for two reasons. There's an area on the unit currently where we're starting to see some bison that's currently outside the unit, so we want to realign that unit boundary so hunters can actually access those bison. And then the other change is to basically exclude the park from the boundary. So basically now the park boundary becomes that western boundary of the unit. And there's also a recommendation to change the 9 Mile Range Creek unit to an any bull elk unit. As you know, being from this region, this unit was public land was limited entry and private land was any bull. And we were asked by the Wildlife Board to look at that again and make a recommendation for either one or the other. And the recommendation from the region is to basically make that unit an any bull unit. And they're also recommending changing the dates on the LaSalle, Dolores Triangle, limited entry, muzzleloader elk hunt. Basically, this is just a minor change to avoid an overlap with a rifle hunt. Okay, the northeastern region. They're recommending a new bison hunt on the Booklifts unit to deal with tribal bison that come off, that come onto the unit, off the tribe. This will not include the entire Booklifts area. It basically is the northwestern portion of the Booklifts, so it's dealing with bison that are chronically coming off the tribe. The reason we didn't make the entire unit open is the bulls we have there that we transplanted are not old enough yet to be harvested. So we don't want to be putting pressure on the transplanted animals, but we do want to be putting pressure on those animals that are coming off the Ute tribe. So this hunt will help us accomplish that. There's roughly, depending on the year, 200 to 400 bison in that area coming off the tribe. So there's plenty of bison there. And this will be a once-in-a-lifetime hunt with the season dates in your packet as well. And this hunt will also help us do is create a hunter pool for also some of the bison that are actually coming off the Booklifts unit and going on to the nearby 9 Mile unit. It also gives us a hunter pool. This year we had some of those come off, and we had to use the Henry Mountains bison as an alternate pool, but now this will give us a new hunter pool to draw from as well. They're recommending a change to the Uinta Basin Extended Archery Boundary. That boundary traditionally has gone a little bit up higher on the mountain than probably should have been, and they notice that they're harvesting some deer that may be mountain deer and not deer that they're trying to target in town. So they want to shrink that boundary down a little bit. And it also, there were some conflicts with the nearby Diamond Mountain Deer Unit, which is a limited entry unit. And they also would like to change the youth late elk hunt boundary. This is that hunt I mentioned earlier. That's a really long hunt. They actually want to expand the boundary as well as make it a really long hunt. Again, it's helping them expand opportunity for youth, and it's helping them deal with some depredation issues in that area late into the season. Okay, some of the changes in the northern region that they would like recommended is the Crawford Mountain portion of the cache unit. They would like to make that an any bull elk unit. Currently, it's with the entire cache as a spike bull unit and then a limited entry. The reason they want to do that, basically for those of you who don't know this area, it's basically everything west of Bear Lake, I mean east of Bear Lake to the Wyoming border and north to the Idaho border. That area is not great elk habitat. The elk have moved into that area and are primarily using agriculture as their habitat. So we want to discourage them from being in that area, and making an any bull unit will help us do that. They would like a new any goat hunt on the Willard Peak unit. This is another unit where we have a growing goat population. And to issue more permits with only one any goat hunt would cause crowding. So this will help deal with the crowding issue, and they would be able to actually have more permits on that unit. They would also like to expand the extended archery boundary in the northern region to the shore of the Great Salt Lake. So basically this is the Wasatch Front extended and Ogden extended, but only in the northern region portion of the state. Currently it goes to I-15 as the western boundary. Now it'll go to the shore of the Great Salt Lake, so the east shore of the Great Salt Lake. So basically it takes over most of the valley there. And this is basically to help deal with some nuisance and depredation issues. And it also allows for opportunity for archers to hunt a little later into the year. Okay, some of the key dates for the 2012 season. The big game drawing for bucks and bulls once in a lifetime and for new dedicated hunter applicants is basically going to be February 1st through March 1st. Those that want to apply for just a bonus point or if people want to withdraw an application, they actually have until March 8th to do that. And then the results will be posted May 31st. Current dedicated hunters will have to have their unit choice by the deadline of January 13, 2012. And the dedicated hunter coordinator will be sending those letters and emails out to get people to send in their choices. Okay, shed antler and shed horn season dates. Basically, if you want to hunt shed antlers or horns between February 1st and April 15th, you're required to have an online course certificate. So basically, you go online, you take this course, you print out the certificate, put it in your pocket if you are going to hunt antlers or horns during that period. Now, the dates where hunters may purchase or sell big game or its parts. Again, this is something that's in the guidebook every year. No changes there, but we always like to put them out there so people realize when they are. So you can sell antlers, heads, and horns of legally taken big game from February 15th through July 31st, 2012. And then untanned hides of legally taken big game may be bought or sold August 1st through February 14th. Okay, lifetime license holders will have to have their units selected by March 1st. Again, they will be sent out a questionnaire to choose their units. Those that fail to choose a unit by the deadline will basically have to see what's left over after the drawing and get permits that way. All right, these are season dates for disabled hunters on general season extension days. We usually give disabled hunters an extension on general season. Sometimes it's a preseason extension, so they get to hunt before the regular hunt, and sometimes it's a postseason extension. Now, these folks, to get this extension, have to go into our office, fill out a form, get a letter from a doctor that they are truly disabled and the disability is permanent. So it's not something that anybody could get. So for archery deer, it's a preseason extension. It goes August 13th through the 17th. For muzzleloader deer, it's also a preseason extension from September 21st through the 25th. And for any weapon deer, the rifle deer, it's also a preseason extension, October 15th through the 19th. Archery elk is the same as the archery deer, August 13th through the 17th. And the muzzleloader, any bull elk, is a postseason extension, so they hunt after the season, November 9th through the 14th. And the any weapon, any bull elk, is a preseason extension, September 15th through the 23rd. They can also hunt that northeastern region unit where the youth can hunt in that late season as well, if they so choose. Muzzleloader spike, they have a postseason extension, November 12th through the 16th, and the any weapon spike elk, they have a postseason extension, October 19th through the 23rd. And that is my presentation. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the rack on the presentation? Kevin?
I was just wondering why the certain dates for selling the game park.
Yeah, the rationale for that is to basically have them outside the regular season, so folks aren't, if they're so inclined, could sell a hide, go out, shoot another deer, sell a hide, and during the season that's actually legal. So basically they fall outside the legal season, so you can't be doing it while the hunt is on.
So one question, a lot of times if someone takes an animal that they're going to do a European mount, they'll sell the hide to the taxidermist. Usually that's for, during the time of the hunts. Mm-hmm. Is that now illegal?
It always has been.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So those dates are not new dates. Those are dates that have always been.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the rack? On the agency draw boundary on the bison, the Coal Creek it talks about, come down the Green River to Coal Creek, is that the Coal Creek that's the south boundary of the Ute Reservation? Or is there another Coal Creek on the north end?
No, it is a south boundary, but it excludes the reservation, so they just drew the boundary around the actual unit.
It just seems weird. They bring it all the way down to includes most of the reservation.
Yeah.
And then exclude.
Yeah, because there's not a definable boundary on the top, so the more definable boundary is actually the unit boundary itself, which does go down to Coal Creek. So that's kind of the easiest way to write a boundary. Otherwise, you would have to tell people the boundary is the boundary of the reservation, which is a hard one to know. And that's kind of how we've always written our boundaries is we write it so it's definable and then say it excludes. It leaves it up to the person to know kind of where they are, whether they're on the tribe or not.
Okay. And then on that antler gathering online course, is that an annual course or is that...
It is. You have to take it every year.
Is it changed at all? I mean, do you guys update it or do anything different?
We usually don't update it unless we get some, like if something happens out in the field that we learn about that we need to punctuate, usually we don't change it.
Okay. And the last question I had is, can you tell us why there's different dates on the management buck units, the two?
Yeah, because the Henry Mountains has a bison hunt going on at the same time, so they're trying to work around that where the Poncegon does not.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions from the rack? Okay, we'll open it up to questions from the public. Again, I remind everybody this is questions for clarification. You'll get your chance for comment right after this. No questions from the public?
Sure.
This is just a 3-second question.
Can you state your name as you...
Mike King.
Thanks.
In the northern region changes, it talks about expanding the extended archery boundary. Is that deer and elk? Is that what you're talking about there? Okay.
I was a little bit just wondering on the any bull handicap extension or disabled extension. Can anybody that gets that you know, gets that approval, can they hunt on that northeastern region extended archery unit?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the way I interpreted it.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go on to comments. I remind anybody from the public that wants to make a comment to fill out one of these yellow cards that are back on the back table and get it up to me. And we'll start with Randy Quayle.
First of all, I'd like to thank the Iraq Wildlife Board for your time and that you put into this. We know you're all volunteers, and it's your time's well appreciated, as is the Fish and Game's time and that, and what they have to work with. My name's Randy Quayle. I'm speaking for the Utah Bowman's Association. We have two recommendations tonight. The first one is concerning the statewide archery deer hunt. The Mule Deer Foundation, the United Wildlife Corporation, Bowhunters of Utah, and the Utah Bowman Association jointly propose that the RACS and Wildlife Board reconsider the decision to make archery deer hunters pick a unit in 2012 and instead allow archery deer hunters to continue to hunt statewide. The reasons for this proposal is as follows. As stated by the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources biologists several times over the past several years, there is no biological reason to restrict the area that archery deer hunters are allowed to hunt in general season hunting units. The numbers of hunters that harvest a deer with archery tackle are not statistically impacting the buck-doe ratios. Having more hunters choose a less successful hunt strategy will increase buck-doe ratios without loss of opportunity. Wasatch Front archery only area is one of the examples of that. Despite the decision to start hunting smaller units with firearms, the majority of the RACs and the majority of the public were in favor of leaving the archery deer statewide hunting opportunity intact. There was also a fairness issue that was brought up, that if those hunting with firearms have to choose a unit, then the archers should have to choose a unit also. If fairness comes to play in this, if fairness comes into play, then split the available permits into three equal parts. That would be fair. We know that's not going to happen. If need for changing units is biologically or enforcement reasonable, then by all means we support that. If there are no biological reasons to restrict archery hunting, it should not be. It should be then rethought. There have been enough opportunities lost and tags cut to all hunters as it is, and in the process has lost a lot of hunting interest in Utah. Let's not take opportunities away and restrict even more hunting opportunities. And our second recommendation is the Ogden, Willard Peak, Rocky Mountain goat season. They've been, it's going to be the first year, I think, with three units there. The proposal earlier was that a 9-day mountain goat hunt in each hunt. There's three different hunts. And we feel like that's too short of 9 days is too short for a once-in-a-lifetime permit. We would like to propose a change on that from the first hunt. It'll be a billy goat hunt, September 10th to September 23rd. The second hunt, September 24th to October 14th. And the third hunt is a nanny goat hunt, October 1st to October 14th. And that would keep the hunters. There's going to be some other hunters up in the mountains at the same time, but where mountain goats live, we don't feel like that would be much of a crossover with archery hunters or the muzzleloader hunters. And I think the Fish and Game is kind of thinking about that one anyway. So, but anyway, that's my proposals. Thank you.
Randy?
Yes.
So I got these dates straight. There's going to be an overlap on the second hunter choice with the nanny hunt?
Yes, it'll be September 24th, October 14th, October 1st to October 14th for the nanny hunt. It'll start a little later.
Thank you. Brad Timothy?
I just one question. I am Brad Timothy. I've been up on the Nine Mile Range Creek area most of my life. I've hunted from Nine Mile in through Range Creek and guided in there probably for the last 25 years. I'd like that to go as you suggested, to open bulls so I could have a chance to hunt some of the big bulls there that's on public ground. instead of turning it all over to landowners or a draw. The odds of me drawing any more at my age than a lot of these are slim to none on it. So I'd like to have it an open area where I can have a chance to be able to hunt that open area where the bulls are. There's a lot of private ground in there. They've got public ground locked up, and I have no problem with that, but there's public ground on the outside that I can hunt. Right now, I cannot draw a tag. The odds are just not in my favor of being able to. And right now, I'd like to hunt elk, and this is the way that I think it needs to be so I can hunt elk. Thank you.
Dennis Gibson.
I'm Dennis Gibson, and I don't want to go over it all again. Brad stated pretty much, even at my age, even a few years younger, I have a chance of drawing an elk tag. And also, I have guided for the Tavaputs Ranch, and at the last 5-6 years I've guided with them at an open bull unit, we have seen bigger bulls every year. So going to this open bull area, I don't think will hurt the quality of animals up in that area. Thank you.
Kenny Gunter.
My name is Kenny Gunter. I work for the Tavaputs Ranch as a guide, and I feel the same way as my two cohorts that just spoke, so I won't take up much of your time. I feel it's pretty much, if they're going to make some changes to try to close it, that's not the way to go. I think if you're going to do something with it, go ahead and open it up and let the hunters have a chance. Thank you.
Butch Jensen.
Butch Jensen. We're owners of the Tavaputs Ranch on the Tavaputs Plateau, kind of on the southern region of the Range Creek unit. We agree with the Fish and Game's recommendation to have this unit any bull.
Jeremy Hankin.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Hansen. I'm representing United Wildlife Cooperative. First of all, I'd like to thank the RAC and division for their hard work and dedication for the wildlife and sportsmen and sportswomen of Utah. UWC would also like to support the division's proposal to turn the 9-mile Range Creek into an any bull unit, just feel that that makes sense. UWC also supports the joint proposal presented by Utah's Bowman Association, Bowhunters of Utah, and Mule Deer Foundation. In the coming months, we would also like the RAC and division to consider ways to implement comprehensive hunter management in the newly created mule deer subunits. Creating these subunits allows us to manage hunters and deer on a unit basis, yet we choose to manage every general season unit to 18 to 25 bucks per 100 does. Between this year and next year, we will have removed close to 15,000 hunters, as well as associated revenue. As you know, these cuts do not address our deer, rather the social aspect of deer hunting. Past division surveys have always showed that the most important thing the majority of hunters is having the opportunity to be in the field with a tag in hand. We also acknowledge that there's a segment of the population that desires bigger antlered deer at the cost of hunting less frequently. UWC urges the division to come up with a comprehensive plan in the coming months to manage our general season units to reflect these statistics in the 2012 management plan. Thank you for your time.
Kaylin Cowley.
Gallen.
Sorry.
My name's Kaylin Cowley. And first off, I don't want to offend anybody up 9 Mile or anybody that it might offend. I'm sorry. we're not in a limited entry right now, and we have a problem with people trespassing. So I believe if you open it up, everybody that owns property will have that same thing. I personally know two people that trespassed, killed an elk, and was not prosecuted. But anyway, I think you should still close it off and no offense to you, Butch, if people want to, private landowners want to protect their land better, CWMU, and, you know, that's just me. I think it's probably better for, well, not better for everyone, it's better for landowners, but as that gentleman was saying, it's really not that hard to draw. It's actually pretty easy to draw that unit, Pond Wisconsin is unit. There are units out there that you can draw that has good bulls. So I just like to tell the board to reconsider that and look at all the aspects of, you'll get trespassing, post bulls, and everything else like that. So thanks.
For clarification, Kaylin, you're asking for to leave it as limited entry or to shut it off altogether?
Well, if I have a choice, I'd say shut up all 9 Mile off. But if you can't do that, I'd understand. I'd leave it.
You don't mean shut it down to hunting, do you?
No. No, I ain't a tree hunter. No offense to tree hunter. So I'd just say limited entry. And, you know, like he's, this gentleman back here said, it might be hard up the tax, you know, if they say that it won't hurt. Then up the tax, give more people opportunity in this area to hunt.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, that's all the cards I have. If there's anybody in the public that would like to make an additional comment, we'll hurry and have them fill out a card. If not, we'll go ahead and open it up, or close it to the public, and open it back for discussion. We kind of boil it down into, looks like two variances from the division's recommendation. UBA and UWSC would like to see a statewide archery, as well as season date changes on the Ogden-Willard Peak goat hunts, and then the 9 Mile recommendation to either be open bull or leave it as currently is limited entry, or the variances from the division's recommendation that came out through public discussion.
On the Range Creek 9 Mile, unless the landowners are in a CWMU, which they don't, they have to have 10,000 acres to be in that.
Yes.
So there are probably quite a few, I would assume, that do not qualify to be in a CWMU. And that would, if it went limited entry, that would eliminate all of them from being able to hunt their land. Is that correct? Or they'd have to draw a limited entry tag, I guess.
Well, what we're recommending is it become any bull.
Right.
So they
right.
could actually buy over-the-counter tags and hunt their own land.
Okay.
What were you asking about his proposal?
He just made a comment about becoming CWMUs if they, but not everybody would qualify to be that.
So they wouldn't have to. I mean, it actually, for the private landowners, it wouldn't change a thing. There currently are in any bull units,
right.
So they would remain in any bull units.
Yeah, but okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin?
I was wondering if Brad or someone could speak to now a little bit about how much public land there is up in this area, and maybe a little bit to some of the land lock and maybe some of those issues.
Private public land issues that, as most of you are aware, the total elk habitat on the unit only works out to be something like 25% private. But the huntable elk habitat, you know, in September and October, I don't know, but I would guess 80-90% of the elk reside on private land. So, you know, hunting opportunity on public lands is relatively limited, whether it's under a limited entry, you know, situation like we've had the last several years, and in a general season any bull. There are a lot of acres that are public lands that you really can't get to, you know, from a road, to just due to access issues with private lands. But once again, those public lands are inaccessible most of the year. You can hike there somehow, but pretty difficult hunting. So, relatively small area where you can hunt on public lands, where elk are.
Brad, before you leave, I don't mean to put you on the spot. So, if you don't feel comfortable answering this, don't. But if
okay, I won't.
Yeah.
In your opinion, are there going to be more elk killed under open bull than there will be under limited? Would it, has been under limited entry?
There probably won't be much of a change. This unit was an any bull unit. I think 97, 98. There was a 4-year period there in the late 90s till 01, I think. And the harvest hasn't changed. When we cut off, you know, 2/3 of the unit and made it limited entry on public lands, the harvest of bulls has actually increased over that period, you know, despite limiting some harvest. You know, the issue is the same. The elk live on private lands. And the issue, it's really not about killing more elk. It's providing more opportunity. You know, it was the way we balanced this. It was a very difficult decision to make just because the elk do reside on private lands, and the private landowners have some issues, but would like to avoid the trespass and a lot of the other social issues involved with opening this unit up to general season. When it's a 50-50, you know, we're not sure what to do. We like to err on the side of providing public opportunity. I don't know if that answers the question or not.
Sure. As a statewide perspective, the terrain, 9 Mile Range Creek, is not unique. I mean, the northern region is full of units that are mostly private land, where the elk reside on private land, and they are any bull units. So it's really, you know, access issues abound, I guess. So it doesn't fall outside of what we already have in a lot of places in other regions.
Yeah. The main difference I see is there is a lot of public land on that unit that the elk are using in November. And with limited entry, you've got a November opportunity.
With a muzzleloader on any bull hunt as well.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
One more question to that is, that was my same question, is with that lay hunt, it allows you to maybe address some of the bull-to-cow ratio. And as I seen in your other regions, that there was a youth late hunt that allowed opportunity. Would that be something that the bull to cow ratio biologically needed? There might be an additional late hunt.
Yeah, sure. I don't see why it couldn't be an opportunity. Provided the region thought that was needed. Yeah.
Any other comments from other RAC members? I'd like to, if somebody's ready to make a motion, I'd like to separate those three things if we could, so that we get the public feels like we've addressed their concerns.
Before we make motion, I'd like to speak a little bit to the proposal to allow the statewide archery into the unit by unit. I know last year at the Wildlife Board there was a lot of discussion about this, and one of the comments by one of the Wildlife Board members was that he felt that if the unit by unit was going to work, that the archers needed to pick a region as well to allow managers to do just that, manage the units. And my fear is, is this. I know that in the proposal it was stated that biologically archery is less successful, and biologically they're not going to take a lot of animals out of the units. But my fear is this, with this day and age, with the internet and all of the social media that we have, if a unit does start to rebound, those following years, we could see a huge influx of archery hunters DWR finally gets some management there, see a huge influx and maybe take away a lot of those efforts that was put into trying to get that management. And I think that to see, let the unit by unit, if it's going to work, it's going to need the DWR's best tools in front of them. And so I don't think this would is in the best interest of the unit by unit.
I move that we accept the proposal as presented by the division.
Okay. Todd Huntington has made a motion to accept the division recommendation as presented, seconded by Chris Mikos. Any discussion on the motion?
This is all archery deer.
The motion was for the whole
thing.
Bucks, bull, everything.
You're not separating it out. It's the whole thing.
Didn't.
Okay. So just want to get that clear.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the whole wad right here. Okay. All in favor? All opposed?
I'm abstaining.
For?
Personal interest.
Motion passed. Unanimous with one abstention. Okay. CWMU, Boyd.
Hey, Boyd, can we just talk about our region and not everybody else's?
It'll be quick, I promise. Okay. Even including the other regions.
If I fall asleep, then you're doing some jobs.
Well, I bet I'd hear you. So. No, I'm here to talk to you tonight. I'm going to be addressing summarizing the CWMU applications and management plans that we received this year. And the permits, then I'll move on to the Landowner Association after we've done the CWMUs. This year, there were 87 CWMUs that were required to renew for the 2012 hunting season. We received 83 application and management plans from them. Four of the CWMUs have dropped out of the program. And one CWMU, the division is recommending denial of the application, and one CWMU, there's a split recommendation. We'll go over those when I hit the various regions. There were 10 CWMUs that require renewal for 2013 and 15 for the 2014. There were 9 new CWMUs this year, so there's a total of 116 CWMUs that, for the 2012 hunting season, if it's approved by the Wildlife Board. It's broken down by the northern region with the lion's share of 70, the northeastern 5, central region is 12, southeastern here is 16, close behind the northern region, and then the southern region is 13. There are 2 million acres that are involved in the CWMU program with 444 landowners. There are 104 CWMUs that are requesting buck deer permits, 16 bull elk, 30 bull moose, and 13 buck pronghorn, and 3 are requesting turkey permits. We're finding that many of the CWMUs are dropping out of the turkey program since we've gone to over-the-counter turkey permit sales. So we here, this is the breakdown per species for a total of 2,940 private and 488 public permits. Regional issues, there are five new CWMUs in the northern region, and then Junction Valley is a change in boundary. They've increased by a little over 1,000 acres. The northeastern region has added two new CWMUs, the Aviniquin and Buckhorn, for deer. And then Skull Valley, the division is recommending denial. We received their application for 3,749 acres this year. They need to have 5,000 acres in order to be a deer CWMU, so they're under. We asked them several times for plat maps, that which they were unable to provide, and so they didn't qualify under this, and so we're recommending denial. The southeastern region has one new CWMU called Deer Haven down in the San Juan County area. Then there's the Mini Mod, which had a boundary change. And then there's the Spring Creek Dodge, which also had a boundary change. In the southern region, we have the New Harmony, which is a new CWMU. The Johnson Mountain Ranch wanted to change their deer permits from 27-3 to 9-1. And then they wanted to, they're also asking to drop their season variance. If they have a, they're allowed to ask for a variance in their season date that would allow them to hunt until November 10th. They no longer want that. They want it to end October 31st. Then the Alton CWMU is requesting a change in their management buck deer permits. They wanted to go from 4-1 to 5-1. The division is actually recommending that they receive 3-1, total of four permits. This is how much they qualify for. In going through the qualification and the number of permits that they can qualify for, they should be receiving four permits. The Wildlife Board, 2 years ago, when they first started the management buck permits, the region recommended no permits, and came up with 4-1. As we looked at the calculations, they qualify for 3-1, but they're asking for 5-1. And that's everything, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any questions from the RAC?
I have a question. Does any of those units include Dugout Ranch in San Juan County?
No.
No. No. Thanks.
On the Alton CWMU, are you? Is the division recommending 3-1 or 4-1?
Yes.
3-1.
Yep.
Okay. So if the RAC passes the division's recommendation as presented,
it would be
3-1.
Yes.
And they're now 4-1.
They're now 4-1, requesting 5-1.
How did they? If they're only, I'm confused here. How did they get the 4-1 if they're only qualified for 3-1? Why didn't we put them at 3-1?
Okay, two years ago when they made the, when we first went to the management buck permits, the region recommended that we have no management buck permits on the unit. They went to the Wildlife Board and requested the 4-1, and the Wildlife Board granted the 4-1. And at that point, we let that go, and then they wanted another increase when they actually qualified for 3-1. And so our recommendation is to go for how the permits that they qualify for.
Just out of curiosity, where's Deer Haven at?
Deer Haven? It's down, Guy? Where's Deer Haven?
It's the Johnson and Frost properties that split off the Spring Creek Dodge.
Oh, okay. Deer Haven.
Any other questions from the RAC? Any questions from the public? I don't have any cards from the public. I assume there's no comment from the public on this. We'll go ahead and close public comment and go to RAC discussion. Recommendation.
On the mini mod, I noticed that the deer and elk were the same number. Is that the correct number, or is that a misprint?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Entertain a motion.
I make a motion that this division is recommended.
Motion to accept the division's recommendation as presented by Charlie. Is there a second to the motion? Pam? All in favor? Opposed? Unanimous. Thank you. Landowner permits.
Okay, this will be even faster.
This is going way too fast already. I'm getting scared.
Okay, we've got Landowner Association voucher recommendations for the 2012. We received 15 applications. The division is recommending approval of all 15 applications. There are no split recommendations, so we're agreeing with the applications that came in. There are 125 deer vouchers, 4 management buck vouchers, 93 elk vouchers, and 9 pronghorn vouchers for landowner associations. Thank you.
I have the same question. Can any of these landowner associations involve dugout ranch in San Juan County?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
It'd be the San Juan. Okay.
They'd be on Elk Ridge, wouldn't they?
Well, it's holding it for elk.
Yeah.
There's one for deer and one for elk. They'd be on one.
Any other questions from the RAC? Questions from the public? I have no cards for comment from the public, so we'll move on to RAC discussion.
Well, I think I have to recuse myself from voting because of a conflict of interest.
Okay. Thanks, Sue.
Make a motion to accept the division's proposal as presented.
Is there a second to Kevin's motion?
Second.
Seconded by Charlie. All in favor? Unanimous?
Thank you very much.
One abstention. Okay, I guess I'd entertain a motion to adjourn then. All in favor?
Very good. I said.